from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
That's right, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, final hour of the program before we hand things over to the drive. You make sure to keep it locked here because we got about 20 minutes till we get to Figgy's mixtape. That's always a fun thing to get into. But right now, look, we're all looking forward to tomorrow. And what's happening tomorrow is the Texans cut their roster down to 53, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to try and do what we can to see if we can figure out what the 53 man will look like here in the loop. So let's get our in the loop roster here. And I was trying to do like the preliminary numbers of this to make sure.
That's the number one thing. That's where you have to start.
Yeah, because obviously you got to get to 53 just in general, right? Like how many of each will be required to get you to that place is then the number. But with that being the case, I think we start with the ones that you know. Quarterback, it feels like you'll have two. Although that's become a little bit interesting on will you have two or will you have that third because of the new rule, right?
Yeah. Or the old rule that they're sticking with.
Yeah, the old rule that they're sticking with. I think another place where you have a big question is wide receiver, right? Do you go with six or can you maybe slide that to seven depending on where you find a body here or there.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else feels relatively standard where you talk about, you know, you have your two starting defensive tackles, maybe two backups, five or six defensive ends to kind of rotate in.
Right.
Five or six linebackers to rotate in, some cornerbacks, safeties, maybe about 10 in your defensive backfield, something like that to be able to work around there.
Yeah.
You work around just generally those numbers and then you get yourself to 53.
You're making me go old school here.
Write it down.
With the writing it pen to paper, because you almost have to start backwards. Like, where are we going to save a position?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, for now, fullback. So that means you're going to keep four running backs. One of them can be a swing type fullback.
And, I mean, it feels like right now with the way that this is going, is Andrew Beck going to be on the roster to start with, or is he going to end up on IR,
right?
Which you might have to do the cut down where he's on the roster and then put him on IR, and then you get that other person slotted in a day later. But effectively, he'll get that 53rd.
So two quarterbacks helps you if you're only going to keep two, not three on the roster.
And we know who the two are there.
Yeah,
right? That's CJ Stroud
and Mills.
Excellent.
So you're going to have four running backs. So you're actually kind of ahead of the curve there if you don't have a fullback. That means three tight ends.
I think three tight ends for sure.
So that's nine.
The three tight ends clearly being Dalton Schultz, Brevin Jordan, and Cade Stover.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, and excellent. So immediately that gives you the chance to have seven wide receivers, not six. Right?
Okay.
So I think that's where I would, like I said, that's why I'm kind of working backwards.
Sure.
You can keep seven wide receivers if you do that, and I think the Texans will. Rather than six.
So okay, so if we keep seven wide receivers, let's do the hard part.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
Then. Okay, you're three of those. Easy.
Nico, Diggs, and Tank.
Excellent. Got that out the way.
That gives you a chance to keep Noah Brown, who I think they like for his toughness and his veteran ability, and he's made some big plays and his blocking. So there's four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaning Xavier Hutchinson.
Oh, Hutchinson.
I'm leaning Xavier Hutchinson.
Okay.
And then that's five.
Five.
So you actually can keep Steven Sims as a returner that way.
I think that that's going to be helpful.
Right?
I think he should stay as a returner. We've seen him in the preseason make good returns. Read with this new kickoff. Read it well and find gaps. And I mean, I'm not certain that is Desmond King going to be on this roster. Like, that's your other return option, I think, when you talk about major, unless you're putting Dameon Pierce back there, which I don't know. How do you feel about that? So I feel like Steven Sims is the guy that I lean on most prominently to be.
Yeah, by the way,
on
the running backs, Pierce is one of those four.
Yeah, okay.
For
just, me. Just to make it clear, I'm in that place too. Obviously, Mixon, Pierce, Akers, and Gare.
Yeah. Okay. And so that comes down to, so I'm at six wide receivers, but you can have seven. If this is where you cut bait at the fullback position, then that leaves you between Robert Woods and John Metchie. There has been an aggregator put together that there were some Jordan Schultz, that there were some there's been some interest in John Metchie. I think there's going to be interest in Robert Woods too. And we've just heard about John Metchie, so I think you can get to seven receivers with Woods and or Metchie being odd man out or moved via trade. So okay, all right. So you can see it. You can get there from here, because then you have what, 8, 9 offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So I'll say 9 for the sake of just, you know, special teams and other things, because you need linemen on those extra points and kickoffs and punts and
for
all
sure.
that stuff.
Absolutely.
So there you go. So your offense is looking pretty good in terms of the numbers game, and that kind of sends you into a place where. Defensively, maybe you can have some extra DBs.
Yeah, and then all that means is you have to figure out what you're doing fullback-wise once Beck is available to be reactivated, and quarterback-wise, you have to make sure you have a quarterback on that practice squad, and you have to hope that you don't end up in a really unfortunate situation where both of your quarterbacks get hurt in the same game, because then you would be in a really dangerous place. But outside of that situation, I think you'd be able to make what we just talked about shake.
Yeah, so you got 25 players on the offense, 3 special teams guys, obviously. So you're at 28. So you got to find 25 guys on the defense. You got to find 25 guys on the defense that you're going to keep. And I think Will Anderson.
Well, you talk about 20. Don't forget, you have your special teamers.
That's
right?
What I said. 25 plus added, the 3 special teams.
Yeah, 3 special teams. Sorry.
So that's 28.
Okay.
So you got to get to 25 guys on the defense.
Sure.
I think Will Anderson's going to be good to go. I could be wrong. I'm not sure about Christian Harris, but let's say they're going to be on the 53, of course.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
So there you go. You know, I think where you're going to have to find some room is at the cornerback and safety position. I mean, how many are you going to keep at cornerback and safety? It could be 9. It could be 10 that you keep there.
Yeah, it feels like it might be 10 in that situation, because let's just talk about safeties, right? Jimmy Ward, obviously, Kalen Bullock, obviously, Murray, obviously, that's 3 of them, right? Mm-hmm. Then do you want an additional safety, Lonnie Johnson, maybe? I don't know. How did you feel about, well, Brandon Hill got injured in that game.
Yes.
MJ Stewart, did that do anything for you?
Ooh, safety is interesting because, you know, Kalen Bullock's probably going to be starting. Petrie,
we're considering him safety.
Is more of a nickel. Well, they're calling him safety, but either way, he's got a roster spot. So, but he could swing out there if he needed to.
Because I was going to lean him in the cornerbacks. Because if we view him as a cornerback, you might just go with those 4 safeties and be good there. And then you have your cornerbacks.
Stewart,
going as well.
Murray, Bullock, and Ward is who you're talking about.
And I don't know that Bullock is the one that I feel comfortable.
Yes, for sure.
In there.
And then your cornerbacks would be, I think Mike Ford makes the squad.
Okay.
Mike Ford, Akuda, Lassiter. Might have to say goodbye to Desmond King.
Stingley,
here.
Of course.
Stingley, of course. And then either Henderson or Okuda.
And to be fair, leaning back on what D'Amico Ryans was talking about earlier, it feels like that's going to be a kind of a tough cut. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that there's a ton of depth, as you mentioned, but like there's a lot of guys there that it seems like they're kind of filtering through. So I think any level of mixture of, I don't know, three guys outside of Lassiter and Derek Stingley, your starters, I think that you can get a pretty good mix of any of those. And I imagine Okuda is probably one of those.
I think Okuda ultimately makes it, although it's been a little bit iffy with his play.
And then, I don't know, do you still want Desmond King? Again, another guy who can return and a guy who has been in this
Desmond
team.
I think Desmond King's going to be an odd man out.
Okay, interesting.
I really do. He's been up and down anyway. Then he had that muff punt and all that. But anyway,
But also, this organization, and at least the coaching staff, has made it clear that they're not going to make a decision based off of, or at least If you were to take what they're saying, at least about Dameon Pierce, and apply it widely, mm-hmm. that they're not going to weigh too heavily just an individual play. They're going to take a full accounting of it. And it seems like this organization likes Desmond King to a certain degree.
No, you're absolutely right. So the numbers start getting a little tight.
Once you get to the secondary, yeah. And we didn't even talk about linebackers
and DTs
here.
And linebackers, exactly.
Well, defensive tackles, I feel like, is pretty straightforward, especially until Denico Autry returns.
That's the main thing. Mario Edwards, Fadukasi, Settle, and Davis. Heinisch might be someone that to keep an eye on as well.
And then linebackers is where it gets interesting. I think they might keep a grip of these guys just to kind of have mm-hmm. different looks. But obviously, you have your starters. Although, did we get an update on Christian Harris?
Not today, from D'Amico. So we'll see.
We'll see what he looks like. But just assuming that he's there, Christian mm-hmm. Harris, and then Aziz. I think Henry Toto is clearly going to be in there. We've talked about Neville Hewitt.
I think he's in.
Yeah, for sure.
As Mark Vandermeer said, put him in bubble wrap. Yeah. He's on the squad. So, yeah, look, it's going to be, I mean, it's a good problem to have. It's a problem that the Texans are not accustomed to having, where you're going to be putting players on the street or players somewhere, moving them. That other teams are immediately going to want. And that's not something the Texans are accustomed to.
We were talking about Ali Gay. We've talked about him a lot when we talk about rush ends.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to see him on this team.
I do, too, and I just can't get a good beat on it. There are several players that I just can't figure out what the Texans are thinking based on what we've seen and based on their words about them. And that's where their toughest decisions are going to be. I feel number one would be Ali Gay. He's run with the first team in the second preseason game, which was the second actual preseason
game. Yeah.
Which was kind of where all the starters were. And I know Will Anderson wasn't playing and Daniil Hunter wasn't playing because he had already proved enough. But still, he was with the first team for like three series, Ali Gay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I don't know. And then this past Saturday, he's with the second team on Saturday when the first teamers weren't even playing. So I'm like, I have no idea what they're going to do. And then Desmond King is the other one. I think Desmond King is going to be a tough cut for the Texans. Xavier Hutchinson, and Figgy was a little surprised, you know, because I said Xavier Hutchinson before John Metchie. I just feel like he's done more. Metchie's done fine
and
proved himself, but I think Hutchinson's done more. And I know they like to run the reverses a lot. And he's one of those guys that they
run that has that speed on
reverses. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, depending on what they do with fullback, and I think that the D'Amico Ryan's quote from earlier, and I mean, I guess we could play it again if we really wanted to, mm-hmm. just talking about, the flexibility of the fullback position really does open up the possibility that if they don't have a traditional fullback, that could help ease some of the questions that we're having about wide receiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or ease the questions of, or maybe that just goes straight to British books and now he ends up being a running back / fullback or something like that. But that really could help make this roster a little bit easier to cut down if you do not have a fullback straight up.
You are 100% right. Like for our listeners' purposes, if you don't have a scorecard at home.
Yeah, because that's the tough thing about doing a 53-man is that it's just a whole bunch of names.
Yeah, if you don't have a scorecard at home, let me sort of funnel it down to one thought. For me anyway, and I don't know what yours is. Mine is they're going to decide how badly do we really need a by trade, by definition, fullback. Because if we can get by without a fullback and we can use Cade Stover and British Brooks if he's on the team and obviously Brevin Jordan, if we think the biggest is if we can get by and use the fullback in that way, then we're going to be able to have more room elsewhere. And also more room because you're not going to have a quarterback on the 53, a third quarterback on the 53.
Or maybe they do have a third quarterback on the 53 just to be abundantly mm-hmm. safe.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, before we move on, with just kind of the ways that we've mapped it out for ourselves, this is a very rough mm-hmm. sketch of the 53-man roster for these Texans. Is there a position that you're like kind of least sold on when it comes down to the 53-man cut? Is there, because for me, I think it is in some ways cornerback, but again, I think that's because there's a lot of guys outside of those starters where I go, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm definitively scared, but I also am not sure and certain that if something happened that they step in and that it's everything is as seamless as possible.
I think it's Neville Hewitt has helped a lot,
with
but
linebacker.
I still think it's the linebacker. Let me see what Toto can do. And then outside of Neville Hewitt, who is really stepped up, is Jake Hansen going to be an answer? Is there going to be
Jake
another
Hansen
answer?
Feels like he should be at least a guy in the room.
Yeah, I think he's going to be in the squad. He'll be in the linebacker room, but it's still linebacker because linebackers get hurt. Linebackers, you know, are a very high impact position.
Yeah, all that thumping.
You know? Yeah.
Real quick before we move along, a little bit of I guess breaking news. In the NFL space, we were talking earlier about the idea of like wide receivers and contracts, and we got a big one that came down the pike. Should we do the thing, Fig?
Why that?
Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Texans Week 11 opponent, Dallas Cowboys, finally got some of their drama out of the way. Wide receiver, All-Pro wide receiver CeeDee Lamb agreed to a four-year, $136 million extension with the Cowboys. $100 million guaranteed for him, including a wide receiver record, $38 million signing bonus. So
$38 million bonus.
Yeah, man, that goes into the bank account immediately for
yes.
him.
Yes, he's gonna have that tomorrow.
So the number that we're looking at there is 34 average annual value. Yeah. In essence, you have, the first three seasons guaranteed in some ways with the guarantee money there. But, yeah, he doesn't actually miss playing time, but it seems like holding out in the entirety of the preseason for him, training camp, worked for him. And now we have a new kind of number to add in when we're talking about wide receivers, particularly Ja'Marr Chase over there in Cincinnati and how that deal gets done. So there you go. Man. Finally, we can stop hearing the Cowboys drama itself, at least when it pertains to CeeDee Lamb, because I guess we still have to hear the quarterback drama.
You still got Micah. Right. You still got Dak.
Yeah,
you still
Micah. Got, Micah rubbing his hands,
yeah,
man.
But these things, I just said this earlier in the show. These things always work. they always, the hold in, the hold out, you know, it's a bad look. They always get paid.
They're just going to pay them.
They always get paid. They don't want that awkwardness. And this is good for good old CeeDee. He's going to have 38 large in the bank tomorrow.
Dinner on you, buddy.
Absolutely. There you go. Just a little bit of NFL news that came down the pike as we were talking. Coming up next in the loop, it's time for some Figgy's mixtape. What are we doing?
Man, so I got three envelopes in my hand with our names on them.
What?
Oh.
We are doing the ChatGPT Instagram challenge where it's going to roast us.
Oh, no.
And we're going to read it live on the air.
Do I have to?
We got to as a class. All right. As a class, fellas.
I guess
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll do that next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is. Figgy Fig holding it down live on Sports Radio 610. Before we get into the Chat GPT Instagram roast.
Oh, no.
I mean, take your time.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. We're going to have some fun with this one. They were very clever. But Instagram is actually introducing a new feature that allow you to put a song up on your profile, on pretty much on your profile.
Okay.
All right.
So kind of the whole MySpace thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm guessing when you go to the page, maybe the music will play. So that kind of be the music.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. So I was thinking, man, I got three songs that I would probably put on my page, man. Mm-hmm. My first song would probably be 50 Cent, Many Men. I just love that song, man. That song.
You got haters that are wishing death upon you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blood in my eye, dog, mm-hmm. and I can't see. My other song would probably be OJ the Juice Man, Make the Trap A.
Okay.
I just love that song. That's one of my favorite songs, man.
I like what you're doing here.
And my last one is Lil Flip, I Can Do That. I feel like people don't really go to that song.
Nah, that's not what Flip. I don't think I would have picked those three for you, but I like what you're doing here.
Yeah,
I like what you're doing.
Yeah, but what songs would y'all like?
I'm looking at my Spotify right now. I'm looking at my playlist. What would I actually? That's a tough one.
That's a really good question.
Maybe Ohio Players, Fire.
Fire.
Oh. You know what it would be. The Daz Band. You've played it. It's my favorite one. Let It Whip.
Okay. That's a good song.
Let It Whip.
I like that song quite a bit.
That might be my favorite from that era. Yeah, Daz Band, Let It Whip.
Okay.
Now I want to hear it.
We got some folks texting in. Shout out to the 832. Said Return of the Mac would be up there.
Man. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. A little bit of Mark Morrison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're doing there. I'm just going to go to like my most listened because I'm terrible at picking favorites and I don't really have a favorite song. Honestly, the real answer would be it rotate very quickly.
Yeah, like mine would too. That's why I had to pick three.
Day to day, maybe like week to week.
Feelings.
Let's see. But yeah, I think maybe like Lyrics to Go, Tribe Called Quest is one of the places that I might go.
Okay.
Or maybe a Fonte song.
You got the backpack on, man.
Yeah. That's backpack. That if you want to get an idea of the vibes that I am in, that backpack rap is absolutely something that I enjoy.
Okay. So speaking of Instagram, I decided to do something that everybody's been doing on TikTok.
Yeah, but
and
that
all
doesn't mean
stuff.
We have to figure.
Hey, we had to,
if
man.
If somebody jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge?
All right.
Shout out to my mom.
Maybe. I don't know. If everybody else did.
Yeah, it depends. Like, do I got a bungee cord? Does it look cool? Is it
fun? Everybody doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so everybody been doing the ChatGPT Instagram challenge where they screenshot your Instagram.
How far on your Instagram? Just like the very first
maybe the first two screenshots.
It clearly matters.
No, I want to understand the methodology. I want to understand where this roast
they don't
is coming
go to
from.
The second page, do
yeah,
they?
so I pretty much took two screenshots.
Okay, all right.
You're gonna make me open.
Yeah.
This.
So
shout out to the 346 who says Mo City Don. Not a bad place to go.
Okay, that's a good one. So what ChatGPT I asked it to do was roast us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they gonna look at our Instagram page, all our content, and all that stuff. And they gonna roast our page. So we gonna open it up.
Right there. Who's opening it up?
Who's gonna go first? Let's start with Johnny.
Oh,
Johnny,
man.
Come up to the front of the class.
Oh, so this is what ChatGPT says about my Instagram.
Oh no.
It seems like and by the way, this is the first time I'm reading it, so I'm not sure it's gonna
cold
be
read, excellent.
Yeah, cold read. It seems like this Instagram account has the ultimate dad energy.
Correct.
I mean, it is what it is.
Excellent.
Like the kind of guy who thinks grilling is a personality trait. I still have no problem with that.
Okay.
I bet he brags about his secret barbecue sauce recipe like his classified government document.
Wait, dude, hold on.
I'm going to turn this into my Instagram.
Yeah. Wait, stay right on.
Judging by those posts, it looks like his two biggest passions are overcooking meat. Hey.
Uh-oh.
And underachieving at everything.
Damn.
Almighty.
Okay.
That OG sauce hat, it's probably the closest thing he has to a business plan.
Oh, man.
Damn. Wait, no. That you hurts. Said roast?
That hurts inside.
Sound like they're demolishing us. Are you sure I got to read mine?
I got two more paragraphs. And let's be real. If he spends as much time with his family as he does with his smoker, those kids are definitely calling the mailman dad. Hey.
Yo.
McDonald's cheese. I've never put a McDonald's cheeseburger on my Instagram. Just a regular Tuesday lunch trying to recreate his famous burger recipe, but realizing yet again that fast food has mastered the art he never could. This is just mean. Guy is like if Florida Man and a burnt brisket had a baby. Keep on grilling, champ. The only thing you're really burning is our retinas with this content. You know, all in all, I got no problem with that. All in all, it's all in fun. It kind of hurts a little
Follow
bit.
Lopez on Instagram, at Lopez on Sports. At Lopez. See if it's accurate. Sports. See if it looked pretty accurate to y'all.
Yeah, buy that OG sauce.
I'm not ready to get my feelings hurt by by a technology that wastes energy.
Here, I could go. Let me go. So mine say, all right, buckle up. Your Instagram looks like the highlight reel of somebody who peaked in middle school and never left the quote unquote, I'm the coolest guy at the pep rally mindset.
Oh Lord.
You've got more pictures with food than with actual people. Are you trying to become a Houston food critic or just eating your feelings?
Well, people are wondering. People are wondering.
Hey, a bit man. Of a Houston food critic himself.
Yeah. Goodness, man. And those outfits, man, it looked like you raided the clearance rack of a thrift store that specialized in loud and proud fashion rejects.
That's greatness.
You're out here flexing Houston so hard that the city might need a restraining order. And let's not even start on the number of selfies, each one screaming for attention like a toddler throwing a tantrum.
Bam.
You got more forced smiles and awkward poses than a yearbook photo session gone wrong. Damn. It's clear you think you're living the dream, but honestly, it looked like you're starring in a low-budget documentary called Desperate for Likes.
Wow. Wow.
Man.
Actually,
my Instagram look kind of lit, though.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's not according to them.
Yeah, see, the GPT sounded like it was hating more than it sounded like it was roasting you. I think you win, Fig, as of right now.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, let's see how bad it happens over here for me as I open the envelope. All right, this guy's Instagram is like a bad Netflix series you can't stop watching. Not because it's good, but because you're trying to figure out how someone can be so extra yet so basic at the same time. Every picture looks like it's trying to tell a deep, profound story, but the only thing it's really saying is I peaked in high school. Okay, the I peaked
in
high school
too.
Just keeps coming back around.
Okay, mine's in middle school.
I'm starting to feel better.
All right, he's got that one photo in front of the Hawaiian Falls sign, probably thinking he looks like he's on vacation in Bali. Sorry, bro, but the water park in Mansfield isn't exactly a tropical getaway. And you don't even get me started on that draft party poster. Who goes to a wing bar just to pretend like they're in the NFL draft? I bet he's the kind of guy who shows up to rec league games in full gear just to sit on the bench and yell at the refs. And then there's that one classic I'm deep in thought pose in front of a green screen looking like he's about to drop the hottest mixtape of 2003. Spoiler alert, the only thing you're dropping is followers. But hey, keep doing you, because someone's got to keep Instagram interesting for all the wrong reasons.
Wow.
Man.
Wow.
Woo. How y'all feeling about that?
Well, I'd like to say that at least a couple of things that they roasted me for, I got paid for. So, you know, like, I feel like that ultimately works out okay for me.
You take your lumps.
You know, like, those ended up going up because, you know, somebody had to get some money off of it.
Yeah,
so,
you take your lumps.
Be like that. I will say, they got me with the trying to tell a deep and profound story. That's fair. I can be a little pretentious on the Instagram. I get it.
Yeah, they got me with the, are you trying to be a Houston food critic?
But people have asked you that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'm trying to do. That, man. I'm like, damn, I guess I do have more pictures with food than people.
So who got it the worst out of the three of us?
I'm feeling pretty good about myself, man. I'm all right with that. They want to promote OG sauce. I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Hey, overcooked.
I wasn't a big fan of the
overcooked brisket.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, burnt brisket. I wasn't a big fan.
They also
of
got
that.
Real personal with the, with the mailman thing. I don't like that.
That was a little tough, man. I mean,
those are my kids you're talking about.
Yeah, come on. You lucky it's ChatGPT and not like a real person. Yeah, I feel like John would have to go see them.
Yeah, it's good.
On talk.
What's that word? On site?
On site. Absolutely.
On site.
All right, so this is the last one. Have y'all do draft parties and fantasy football
Friday.
Party? Yours this Friday?
Yep.
That's a good team or a good group. Like draft
no win.
Last possible. Because I always hate when the folks draft in like the second week of the preseason. Yeah. You're like, somebody's going to get
hurt. Oh, he got cut?
Careful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so do you have any idea what your strategy is as far as like picking?
Hey, same as always. It's not, don't mess a good thing up. Receivers early, quarterbacks late, you know, and it's not because it's PPR. So, okay. I mean, I want receivers and running backs and receivers early. It's nothing fancy. I do have a list. I got a couple of sleepers that I like, but I can't divulge here because all my kids listen. My kids are in the group, so.
You're not going to share your wisdom?
I'm going to give you one.
Oh, you're going to get the nugget?
Okay. Give the people something.
Okay, who was the one running back? You answer the question while I'm thinking about it.
I have not played fantasy, although over the last week I've had a couple of people ask me to join their fantasy league, mm-hmm. and I'm considering it. I've stayed. I bounce back and forth between doing fantasy and not doing fantasy. When I play, it's just because I kind of feel like getting into it because I have some friends.
Yeah.
But when I jump back out, it's because I don't like the way it forces me or it makes me watch games, because it'll be like Sunday Night Football and I'm like looking at the wide receiver like throw it to him instead of just watching the game and enjoying it.
See, I think that's fun. Yeah, I think that, because you're still gonna enjoy the game, but it's like I got a little action in here, man. I got a little dog in the fight, in the hunt.
Yeah, so I might jump in on a league or two here shortly. As far as like strategy, yeah, man. Depending on what the game type is, PPR or half point PPR, honestly, is probably the best.
Yeah,
go for the wide receivers, running backs, and then if possible, make sure that you have an extra quarterback that either you can throw in there when you need to, or that you could use as trade bait.
There you go.
That's always a good thing.
Would you guys take some fantasy football advice from one Drewski, who's the comedian?
No.
Well, I'm not. I need to know how into it he is.
He's a deeply unserious person.
Yes.
Just in general.
Yeah, so he was actually in the fantasy league with Jerry Rice and a couple other people.
All right.
And he was on the clock, and this is how his first three picks went.
Probably going to have to go Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah.
What?
What the f***? That's so funny.
Terrible pick.
So you know I got to go with my boy, Pat Mahomes, baby. What y'all think about that?
Second
that
was round, dumb again.
Brother, okay. I ain't never done this. I don't even know why they put me on this panel. I am still confused of why I'm up here speaking sports. Odell Beckham Jr.
Hey, yo.
5-6 years too late, Drew.
Why are you laughing, Jerry? Hey, chill, man. Don't throw no shade, bro.
Jerry said Odell ain't even showed up.
Boy, you would have had a hell of a team 6 years ago.
I don't know what I'm doing, brother.
You love guys like that in your league, though.
Yeah.
You love them in your league. That is awful.
Shout out to the 281 who said, my thing is take advantage of Texans homers in your league. One guy took Stroud in the third round, and he was the first quarterback off the board. Absolutely.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah.
This is where you got to put your homer stuff aside.
Yep. But people don't.
You got to win, man. You plan to win, man.
But also, sometimes it's nice to have, like, if you're going to be a homer, just do it in really small. Like, just get, like, one or two. Like, don't go with the whole
team.
Yes, just get one or two where
you're
like...
Some people be having the whole damn Houston Texans team. Mm-hmm. It's just like, bro.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Hope they don't go 6-11 or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brant James on the YouTube who said, relax, fellas. It's just a roast. It's not real. Y'all energy change real quick. I don't know. Some of them barbs got me. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be completely honest. I was a little in my feeling. But overall, I thought it was... pretty funny.
It was great.
I hope you guys enjoyed it.
It's great.
Yeah, man.
Hey, it was a commercial for me, man.
Let's do it again tomorrow. Yeah, they were like, he was like, I am unashamed hawking this barbecue sauce. Come get some.
He must have saw that overcooked meat.
Come on now. That's page, the part man. That I didn't like.
Yeah, challenges manhood.
I need that in the commercial.
I wanted to dump that.
All right. Okay. There you go. Figgy's mixtape every weekday, 1:20 p.m. here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's do a little thing that I like to call weekend winners. Who are the winners and losers of the weekend? We'll evaluate that before we hand it over to the drive next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
One more segment to go in the loop for this Monday, Reaction Monday, after a Texans preseason finale victory, 17-15, over the Los Angeles Rams. We've been having a good time in studio. And shout out to JP, 281, that loves the show. Just bought his first jar of OG sauce.
How about that?
So, but he said,
just don't buy the meat.
No, he bought it online, which is a little higher. I would highly recommend going to some of the other retailers like Texas Star Grill Shop and such. But much appreciated.
Just don't buy the meat.
I'll take care of
the overcooked. Might be a little overcooked.
Yeah.
Now you're taking
Let ChatGPT tell it.
A well done brisket.
Now you're leaning into that a little too much. Leaning into that a little too much. Now you'll love it.
And also shout out to another 2-in-1 who said Tank Dell saved their life in fantasy last year. I bet he did.
Yeah, he did.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he did.
Fantastic numbers off of a dude that I don't think, at least nationally, people didn't know about. Locally, I feel like on what was happening with Tank Dell. All right. Let's do what I like to call weekend winners. You let us know as well. 713-572-4610. Who would you feel like were a winner or a loser on the weekend? Because there's various things that happened on the weekend that I thought was interesting. And Figgy, I think you got a little audio for me here, a little bit of a track audio to satiate my friend John Lopez, big track fan. Big time winner, in my estimation, was this man, Mondo Duplantis. Oh, Figs. Ah, I thought I had the audio for you. Do we have the audio, Fig?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure that I thought I set you up for it. But yeah. Mondo Duplantis obviously became a big star in the Olympics, mm-hmm. pole vaulter, and he did it again.
Here he goes. To try and better his own world record by 1 centimeter, Mondo Duplantis at 6.26. Oh, and he does it!
Unbelievable.
Another world record for Mondo Duplantis. He started the Diamond League season in Xiamen with a world record, and he's gone higher again today. That is tremendous from Duplantis. What a competitor, what a guy. He made us wait for it so often. It's on the third attempt. It was the second time today. He was nowhere near with the first attempt, but that was so, so special from Duplantis.
10th time he's broken that world record.
His own, yeah. Yeah, his own way. He's just a freak. Like, that is not normal. I mean, that is not normal because...
No, not at all.
The pole itself has not grown. Like, it's always good. I think it's a little over 16 feet, the actual pole that you use.
And we'll get a little bit of, like, technology and helping, you know, give a little bit more, I guess, snap to it or whatever.
But that means there's still 3 feet. You got to go higher than the pole.
Yeah. And although I did mention he's broken it 10 times, that's intentional. Yeah. Apparently, Mondo Duplantis, like he earns somewhere between $30,000 and $100,000 every time he sets a new record, like from sponsors or whatever.
I'll go up an eighth of an inch.
That's what he does. Strategically, he raised the bar by like a single centimeter every time to break it. He said, quote, "I think I would be lying if I didn't say that that was part of it when it comes to financial considerations." But with that being said, that is a winner at the bank in addition to being a winner. But yeah, he breaks his world record yet again, Mondo Duplantis, in the Diamond League now as opposed to the Olympics where he did that a couple of times there as well. So shout out to Mondo Duplantis, winner on the weekend, handling that this weekend. One of the losers on the weekend. I feel like I've asked you, but I forgot. Are you a golf guy, John?
I usually check in on Sundays. Unless it's a major, then I watch all four rounds. I am very much a golf fan, but I just like, who's leading? Let's see the end of this tournament kind of guy.
Fair enough.
That's what I am, yeah.
Okay, well, one of the things that was happening, well, this weekend, the BMW Championship would happen. And one of the things that was happening during the course of that, Matt Fitzpatrick was trying to make the cut. And on Friday, or actually, this wasn't Friday. This was Sunday, actually.
Yeah.
So this is final round. Okay, I had my days mixed up here. But he was on the eighth hole, and he needed a ruling because it looked like his driver, there was a crack in it. And within that, he wanted to replace his driver, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, there's a crack in it. Let me replace it. And it seemed like the ruling that he continually got was, no, it's not. There's not sufficient damage to your driver in order to replace it. So his decision was, you either got to play with that broken driver or go to the three wood in order to make some things shake. Now, the next hole, he did swing with the driver, and it seemed like he was doing it in protest because he said, this is outrageous. It's an absolute joke. There's an obvious crack there. And it's causing a defect of ball flight.
Yeah.
And so he took that swing, and he sure did end up way far off of where he wanted to be.
Yeah.
But the idea that the USGA has a rule that, like, it's not replaceable just because of a crack if there's not significant damage. Do you think that's fair or foul?
Absolutely foul. I mean, come on. First of all, this reminds me of those guys who are watching a tournament on TV and then they call in and say, oh, he grounded his club.
Yeah.
He grounded his club. These weekend rules analysts.
The sofa snitches.
I hate those dudes. And you know what they become? They become rules analysts or rules experts or whatever on the actual course. That's what this guy is. Well, doesn't look like it's really damaged. Get the hell out. Even Scheffler came to his defense. Fitzpatrick's defense, like, come on, man! Like it's
broken.
It's
right?
A broken club.
He's not trying to get over.
It's
slam broken.
It on the ground or anything. It was just a broken club. Yeah, I hate those dudes.
On the text line, a clear winner, obviously, John Mechie. We talked about that.
Yeah.
He had a solid game during the course of the win on Saturday. Mechie was, I mean, two receptions, 21 yards, but he had a real nice catch where he was able to juke the defender on his back, got around him. And I think really the big thing, the reason why he was a winner is just because it capped off a training camp or in a preseason where you saw him start to stack really good games.
That's exactly it.
And prove what we all knew is that there's talent in there that to be developed.
No, you are exactly on point because it went from, okay, John Mechie, we love you, but you got to do something. You got to do something. You got to do something. And then he did it. And then he did it again. So that was, big time winner.
All right. One of the losers. I don't know. Did you see this on Friday? So the Chargers were in the DFW to face off against the Cowboys up there. And the reason why I bring this up is they were staying at, I believe, the Westin in downtown Dallas.
Yeah.
And there was a chart. It was a group of.
Is that the one that used to be the Anatole?
I think the Anatole is still the Anatole.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if they. I don't know. Let's be
either
honest,
way.
I'm not certain. But either way, whichever one it is, they're not getting good publicity in this story because a few, I believe 15 was the number of Chargers players and staffers and people like that in a elevator, got stuck in an elevator for some time. And Dallas Fire had to come and get them out through like the hatch in the top.
Yeah, they actually had to get out of the elevator and go into another one.
Like it wasn't one of those where they, like, you know, got them to the floor and pulled up, pried open the doors. They had
like
to go
Impossible
in.
Kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, like to get them onto another elevator. Like, definitely losers, right? Like, are you claustrophobic? How would you handle a situation where you're
caught in there? I don't consider myself claustrophobic, but I have been stuck in an elevator for an hour and a half.
Before. Oh, really?
Yes. And it was one of those.
You've experienced everything, haven't you?
It was one of those small ones that's like 6 foot by 6 foot.
Oh, wow.
And that one kind of got to me. It was just me and another person, and then I was like, an hour and a half is a little bit long. But no, I generally don't consider myself that. But the part about this story that gets me, what the heck are you doing putting 15 people on an elevator?
Hey, man, we pack it in. We'll get to where we need to go.
What are we doing?
That's a lot of people,
15
man.
People? That's football players? That's 250, 280 pounds?
I think it's because Harbaugh, in doing Harbaugh things, he managed to take this opportunity to praise Justin Herbert for his leadership qualities and keeping everyone calm.
He led him to safety.
But he said that Herbert was among 11 or 12 of their players on the elevator, as was Jerry Fouts, who is the wife of Dan Fouts, who is a TV analyst. So I guess, okay, there we go. Let's go 12 or 13.
11 or 12 or 13.
Still a lot.
Still pretty
still
big
a lot
number.
Of people in the elevator. Maybe it was one of those real luxurious palatial elevators.
Yeah, I'd be tripping when it's about 5 or 6 people.
I know.
I had one of those coming up to work today. Just like, all right, great. Quite a few people in the elevator.
There's already 6 people on here. What you trying to squeeze on for? Yeah,
and then you get stuck. That's something.
Figgy, how are you in an elevator? Like, if you get stuck, is that something that
that never happened to me, and I do not want that to happen, man. Yeah. I just don't see it, especially for over an hour.
Yeah,
that's
ridiculous.
Insane, man.
Then you got to climb out among the wires and stuff.
I would lose it.
Yeah, that's the part that got me.
Another loser in the course of this. Apparently, they're an umpire at the Yankees Rockies game this weekend. Nick Marley, he got carted off after a broken bat hit him in the neck during the Yankees-Rockies game. And so it was a splintered Giancarlo Stanton bat that went back, hit him in the throat, and so he had to be carted off the field.
Worst nightmare.
Is that the worst nightmare for
Absolutely
you?
Absolutely the worst nightmare. The reason catchers now have the catcher's mask that come all the way down to your neck.
Oh, so that...
Because there was a catcher, and I can't remember who it was, that actually got one of those into the throat, too. A shard of wood, and like had to have surgery and everything else. And I forget the name of the player, but I want to say it was a Yankee player. Remember they start... At first, they had that little hanging thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now they're all the way down past your neck. That's because of that. That is the worst nightmare in baseball, is get a splinter of wood in your throat.
Yeah, I don't.
I called him Mike Marriott. Anybody knows baseball back in the days, big time in this area. They summer league. They said, "Hey man, we need you to stay in there for an extra inning and catch Mike." I said, "Well, hell, I can handle an inning."
Yeah.
Oh, Mike. I mean, he was a top draft pick. I mean, he was high 90s.
Okay.
And I dealt with my boy Stokely, B. Stokely. He was about high 70s, low 80s.
Get your foot placement right.
I was that catcher, right?
Oh.
All of a sudden, Mike came in there and was throwing straight gas. And in warm-ups, he broke one off in the dirt, and that thing bounced up and hit me in the Adam's apple.
Oh.
My point in saying that is, I immediately stood up and took the pads
I'm
off.
I'm out.
I couldn't talk. I couldn't even say that. I couldn't talk. Bruce Rios played at U of H. He's a big listener. I see you, Bruce.
Yeah.
He played at U of H. He was our number one catcher. I was just kind of a fill-in.
Yeah.
I pointed at Bruce. I couldn't talk.
That's you.
Bruce, get your ass out of here.
You got
That's
it.
The finger I gave him all that equipment. I couldn't imagine catching a shard of wood in my damn throat.
I just looked it up. Steve Yeager from the Dodgers.
forget it. Forget about
a piece
that.
Of wood in his throat.
So that's where the little hanging thing came from.
And then now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so now we got to get that for the umpire, too, because we got an umpire that took a broken bat to the neck during a Yankees Rockies this weekend.
Boy, you got to be living. We got to talk about how you've been living. If you got all that protective gear on the one exposed spot, you get popped.
Right there.
How bad did it hurt him?
Yeah. Oh, man. He got carted off. They had the whole, you know, neck brace and everything. And they already have protocols in place where if he's got to miss games, they're calling into a AAA ump to get in there as well. So, it could be tough. But, I mean, he's all good, hopefully. Like, that's the thing. But, yeah, he's on his way, or he was on his way to the hospital and taking care of that.
Well,
but,
for everybody out there wondering, Reg, I survived. All right.
I'm glad that evening
over in Lake Charles area, that evening we was in an old local bar having this cold beer.
Good.
Mom and Dad were around. I was underage, yes. Mom and Dad were around, though, so it was all right.
Yeah.
So the beer, I feel like the beer is what helped.
That's exactly what I needed. I needed one of Dad's old Schlitz. Yeah. You know what I mean? Remember those tops right there?
Yep.
What were those called? What were those called? J-Lo, what were those called? The tab where you pull the tab off and the little tongue pulls off with it?
Yeah, that's the tab.
Let me tell you about my dad real quick. He's got a gold plated one around his neck right now.
Does he really?
On his chain. That's his dangle, they were all over the ground.
They were all over the ground.
That's why we got the tabs that stick on now. They were sick of y'all just pulling these. That's right.
He made a gold.
Yeah, Big Earn got one hanging around his neck right now. Yeah, he had it on there last time I saw him. My dad
was Falstaff and Pearl.
Pearl. Yes.
All right,
big gold one, huh?
Yeah, big gold tab.
Clearly, that umpire gets caught in the neck. He's one of the losers of the weekend. Do you guys have any winners or losers of the weekend? Because obviously, feels like Cam Akers was definitely a big time winner with the way that you're not feeling that?
Oh no, he was.
Okay,
he
cool. Was. I was like,
I had Dez King in mind. I thought Dez King went ahead and took himself on off the team.
I think he did.
Well, I mean, Harrison was as good a 2 weeks as Metchie had. 34, boy, this is a couple weeks. 30. But I'll tell you one big picture.
Okay.
College football.
Winner.
College football winner, absolutely, man. I mean, we had a hell of a game for me. I don't know about anybody else.
Oh, it's great.
But like that game was as entertaining. If we'd had 4 or 12 teams in the playoff, that game was as entertaining. I mean, we're up there in the press box watching it and trying to keep our eyes on the field because nobody's playing.
Sure.
Hell of a football game. And now the fallout is, who the hell is Florida State? Wait a minute, who is Georgia Tech, right?
Yeah.
The tie's here. How about Haynes King?
Yep.
Right? Okay, wasn't good enough for you Aggies over there, but he's out there beating Florida State with Georgia Tech.
That's right.
Let's hope you do.
Don't worry about it, man.
But the point
we
being,
got
right,
better. Don't worry
the,
about
the
it.
The point being is we can enjoy it, we can talk, and both of those schools are still alive right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Love it.
I'm with you.
Absolutely love it. College football won this week.
Yeah.
Well, winners, listen to the Sports Radio 610 because you got drive coming up. You're listening to KILT, KILT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And ladies and gentlemen, the drive is live.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.